He's going down into the pit. Then I rehearsed everything that happened, right? Okay. Where along that timeline was Jesus, quote, resurrected? Where along that timeline were he and his body reunited? Y'all ever thought about that?
Yeah.
I did. But I realized I'd never thought about it before. We have the story of the resurrection. We understand the tomb and the stone and the fact, you know, and the cloth that was there and the napkin set. We understand all that stuff. But I'd never thought about when did that happen as opposed to when was his, quote, spirit, his body was in the tomb. His spirit was in the pit. Where along that timeline did the body get reunited with the spirit?
Well, the question is, did it?
Well,
did the spirit come back up in a nanosecond?
Well, that would be true. You could say, and again, I'm thinking about all these things.
Yeah.
And I went to him and I'm going, you know, why don't you tell me what's going on here? Because we don't have any, I mean, like, remember he appeared there in the garden. All gospels, all four gospels record. There's a little bit of difference. Remember, the only one that was an eyewitness to what actually happened there in the garden, in the tomb, was John, right?
Right.
Anyway, Jesus appeared. They thought he was a gardener. Mary did. And until he said Mary, and then she knew who he was. All that, right? He was in the body then, right?
Yeah.
But like, when did that happen? So I haven't yet found scripture that I could say for sure this is absolutely when this happened, okay?
Yeah.
But I thought about the idea of what I had seen, and I thought about the idea of what I shared with you with regard to some of the details, especially the power and the energy involved. Now we're back to where we were 5 minutes ago with the defib, right? Okay. That power hitting that body didn't just cause it to come back to life. It was powerful enough to reunite that body with a spirit that was incarcerated in the pit of hell. That's what I think. Because it says that he triumphed openly over them. He didn't just come to life and leave. That day, that energy was enough to where God created the first immortal man, made in his image. I'm going to make a statement here I want you to think about, okay? Think about what God said about he and the Father being one and all these things, what Jesus said about that, right? Okay. God, that was enough energy. We think about, remember going back to where I was 15 minutes ago when I said light, right? God created light on the first day. Remember light, okay? There was enough light and energy that went into that body to create the first immortal man, and he's not just a man, he's also God. God created God in a body. And that sounds real strange, but that's actually what Jesus said. He said he and the Father are one. They are together. So that energy hit that body. That body became, instead of, we talk about defib again. I can see this in my mind. You know, like y'all have heard the stories, the near-death experiences, the NDEs, right? And they say they're up there, they're apart from above their body looking, right? And then the defib, we'll call it, okay, happens, and suddenly they go back down into their bodies. Got it? Think about this. Here's a body in a tomb in Jerusalem. there's the spirit who is absolutely, he's gone all the way into death, as far death as you can get. He's in hell, right? That energy was enough not to put the spirit back in the body. It took the body and put it in the spirit. Whoa! And then what you got is an immortal, no longer eternal, an immortal. You can't kill him. He is immortal. He is God. And now he's in the pit of hell. No wonder the demons went crazy. And look what he did. And he was totally immortal. There's nothing they could do. Not one thing they could do about it as he triumphed over them. He made a show of them openly. And as he came up out of the pit, absolutely the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He took the keys to death and hell and the grave and left. Nothing they could do about it. Imagine Satan in his kingdom, in his realm of total rule and authority, and suddenly he's dealing with God in an immortal body in his presence. I don't know how you could just sit there. If I was doing on the outside what I'm doing on the inside, it'd freak you out. This is the power of the resurrection. Now, if it happened just this way, that's great. If it only is sort of like that, it's still great. And the fact of the matter is, the story, the idea that this body was resurrected and that Jesus actually was in hell and that he released all of those. This power is amazing. However, to put it one way, that's just one side of the power. Because the other side is, he has the authority and the ability to give life to men. Wasn't just him. That power changed him to become the absolute immortal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He ascended to the Father, walked into the throne room, and took his seat in what Hebrews calls the majestic majesty. He is seated above all things. He has been given a name above every name. And everything bows to him in heaven and earth and underneath the earth. The magnitude of that majesty is something that we have trouble imagining. But that's true. But on the other side, if you will, the other part of that power is it's enough power to give life to men. He can give authority to everyone who believes into him. That power is given out, again, to men. And that's what Paul's talking about when we're looking at the third chapter of Philippians. We've not yet put on immortality, but the light of that life being shined into us, just like Mitchell was testifying about a minute ago, it does affect